Streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management, and by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso history with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're still talking military history with John Hamilton, but we got to do this thing we always do at the top of our second hour. It's the El Paso History Show's El Paso History Moment, presented and produced by Melissa Sargent. A lady you might know.
Yeah, I think that's me.
Yeah, it's you. And you do this for
short-term memory.
Well, you do it for us, but you do it in name of the El Paso History Alliance as well.
Yeah.
And okay, here's what you got today. Her topic today is about Lieutenant James Buster Biggs. And that's not a comic book guy. That's a guy who was a real dude. And he had a military airbase in El Paso named after him. And we need to wait a minute before we can find that piece. Because Andrew is just looking for it somewhere in the control room.
Yeah, and we'll have a question. I had one of the people on Facebook was asking if James's father or Buster's father was a Texas Ranger, because Buster's buried at Concordia, so is his father in the Masonic section. Well, Buster's not buried there; he's in France, but we have a stone for him there. And he wanted to know if his dad was a Texas Ranger. And I was trying to look it up. Chris Martin was trying. Oh, going to the next break.
Hey, we're going to have to run
We're going
to
jungle around here.
we're going to move it because Andrew lost it somewhere in the electronics. No, whatever. Confused. It used to be here.
But yeah, no, I'd like.
I can play it on my phone, I think. Should
since
I do that?
John's on the phone, what we can do is, John, is he there?
Yeah, John. Yeah, John, we're going to move the history moment to the next segment. Go ahead. Ask John a question.
Do you know if Buster Biggs' dad was a Texas Ranger? Have you heard that?
I had not heard that.
Well, we all might learn something.
But that
today.
Was somebody on the Facebook.
Yeah, it was Chris
that.
Martin. He's on the board of the Concordia Heritage Association, and he was on his gravestone. Thank you.
It's in a graveyard, right?
Yeah, one of those things.
It's over there. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that the history moment in a minute. But John, there's a lot going on here. We had just gotten into you. Got another question?
No, I was going to say
We got to get back to Patton and being the kid Patton. Not yet a general big guy when he was in the El Paso area, but he was chasing around with Pershing. No, and somebody also during the week said, "Hey, did you notice that Pershing never caught Pancho Villa?" Well, what would he have done if he got him, John? What do you think?
Well, that would have been interesting. I'm sure he would have brought him back if he'd caught him alive. He would have, I think, would have brought him back to the United States, and the government would have put him on trial.
Well, the problem was people don't understand maybe the history is that Pancho Villa raided Columbus, New Mexico. He came across the border with soldiers and horses and rifles, and they killed a whole bunch of U.S. military, and they tore up the town of Columbus, which there wasn't much there to begin with. But that really was not a nice thing, and so that upset the U.S. government. And then they sent Pershing to chase him. Tell us about that.
That's correct. Pershing was in command of the El Paso district, and part of the 13th Cavalry Regiment was at Columbus on March 9, 1916, when about 485 raiders under Pancho Villa came across and essentially assaulted the town. There were 18 American deaths, but the 13th Cavalry there recovered quite quickly and pursued them back into Mexico, and upwards of about 180, 190 Mexicans were probably killed in that action.
Wow.
The 13th had machine guns, and they were able to get them into action, and when that happened, the raid pretty much fell apart.
Well, Pancho Villa did not know they had machine guns, apparently, right?
Oh, yes. Machine guns ran $600 to $700 for Villa to buy. So if he could get four machine guns and get them free of charge, then and the ammunition, sure, that was an attraction.
Oh, I see. He wanted to come get the machine guns. Oh.
Well, that was part of it, we
got
think.
It. Okay,
there were a number of reasons we think he attacked Columbus. Certainly he was in need of mounts and supplies, and with a cavalry regiment minus one squadron sitting there at Columbus, that was a pretty juicy target. And the regiment had been there for about 2 years. So were they vigilants? Well, for one thing, we weren't at war with Mexico, so we were just patrolling the border, so there was no need to have a whole lot of vigilance, although Colonel Henry Slocum, who was commanding there, did what he thought was prudent to to be prepared for an attack. But there were only four soldiers awake that night in the camp, including the duty officer. So they got him by surprise. Pershing here got the message. This is March 9th. By the 14th of March, they had an expedition got up around 10,000 soldiers that was ready to enter Mexico.
That was pretty quick, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, you had General Pershing, who was on Fort Bliss. You had Lieutenant George Patton, who was in the 8th Cavalry Regiment, and he was itching to go. But he wasn't going to go because the 8th Regiment was not part of the task force.
Oh, he was going to move to the Philippines you were talking about. Okay. Then what happened?
He was supposed to be in the 15th Cavalry. He finagled a reassignment to the 8th Cavalry Regiment. Wow. He had some sugar daddies out there to help him do this. And because usually a second lieutenant didn't have that option, you went with your regiment. But he stayed. He went out to Sierra Blanca with his troop for a while. He patrolled the border there for a while. He wrote letters to his wife, Beatrice, who was with the two daughters back in Massachusetts, at Pride's Crossing, where they lived on the family estate. And he wrote one letter to Beatrice in which he said he had met a lot of the cowgirls in Sierra Blanca.
Uh-huh.
And one seemed particularly easy. And, boy, Beatrice was here in a trice. She got the next train.
Oh, boy. Choked on my coffee
that
with that one.
Too funny.
Yes. And while he was there, they were at a dinner in the bar room in the hotel in Sierra Blanca, and somebody's pistol went off, and Beatrice in her book says she was yanked under the table and the lights went out, and later on figured out that it was Patton's own pistol in his belt, that had his civilian clothes, that had discharged.
Oh.
Oops.
Okay.
So the town marshal, Fearless Dave Allison, who went fishing and hunting with Patton, suggested Patton carry a Colt 45 single-action peacemaker. So Patton returned to Fort Bliss from Sierra Blanca, went to the Shelton Payne Arms Company in downtown El Paso, and ordered an engraved, silver-plated Colt peacemaker directly from the Colt factory. So he bought that pistol here, and that's the pistol you see him wearing in World War II.
That's a bunch of interesting stuff. Okay, can we move on to somebody else? Or I mean, you know, there's a number of things you keep talking about. But we got a whole list of people. Let's see. Let's take another one.
Are we on a list? Want to pick somebody?
One I'm curious about, since we're talking about the punitive expedition, is Wilson. Was it Wilson Scott? Was General Wilson Scott?
Scott is on our list.
General Henry Lennox.
Henry Lennox.
Hugh Lennox Scott.
Hugh Lennox Scott.
He's on our list.
Yeah. He's not as well known as Pershing. His career in service on Fort Bliss is worth noting. He was here from 1913 to 1914. He commanded the 2nd Cavalry Brigade on the border. He was a soldier diplomat. He had graduated from West Point in 1876. He'd been in campaigns against the Native Americans. He learned the Indian Sign Language. He was one of the most foremost authorities on English, on Indian Sign Language.
Wow.
And he was also fluent in Spanish from spending a whole lot of time in the Philippines after the Spanish-American War. So you had the first seizure of Ciudad Juarez, well, the second seizure of Ciudad Juarez in November 13th, 1913, Scott was in command and could not intervene. Villa had asked to visit General Scott on Fort Bliss. Scott wasn't going to let him come on to Fort Bliss. The government wasn't going to give Villa a permit to come into the United States. And in turn, Scott was not going to be permitted to go into Mexico. So on a very dark night on February 19th, 1914, Scott connected up with Pancho Villa on the International Bridge.
Oh. So they had a chat, a cup of tea. What happened?
Well, I would say they probably didn't have tea. They could have, but Villa didn't drink.
No. Yeah. Wouldn't alcohol. So, no alcohol.
Scott basically chided Villa for executing prisoners without trial, and Villa said, hey, I'm executing my enemies. So Whoa. Scott gave Villa a pamphlet written by the British Army General Staff that detailed how to treat captured prisoners humanely.
Oh, let's and give Villa, you a pamphlet and see if you follow that. And while you're at it, walk this line pamphlet. And goodness gracious.
The Geneva Convention?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Villa translated the pamphlet into Spanish, and he actually distributed to subordinates, and Villa and Scott from then on had a sort of a mutual respect for each other.
That's bizarre.
That endured until the Columbus raid.
Well, yeah, that broke a lot of deals there, didn't it?
At the Columbus raid, the chief of staff of the army was Scott.
Oh.
And he couldn't believe that Villa had led this raid. He just couldn't believe it until the evidence was just pretty much laid out for him. The Secretary of the Army, Secretary of War, it was, Newton Baker, brought in Scott and said, I want you to go get Villa. And Scott said, hey, Villa's one guy in all of Mexico, and not only could he elude me in Mexico, but he could get on a boat or a ship or a train and go to Central or South America. We'd never catch him.
Yeah.
He said, I think what you want is for me to go into Mexico and break up Villa's band. And, of course, Secretary Baker said, yep, that's what I want. Yep, do that. Go do that.
Let's take a break here, and we need to ask the controller, and what about the history moment? And you're ready after the next break? Okay. John Hamilton's on the phone here and talking to us about military history in El Paso, a bunch of the commanders and otherwise people just came through here. We got a few more on the list, including we talked about Pancho Villa. We got Bradley. We got Polk. Maybe a relation. I'm not totally sure. We came from the same state. Our families did.
Ah, there you go.
But it
there you go.
Well, you know, Jody Schwartz it was his daughter, Jody Polk Schwartz, and she always calls me cousin.
Yeah.
And neither one of us know why. Because we never were at Thanksgiving together. We never went to Thanksgiving together, John, so I don't think that's it. Whatever. Anyway, taking a break here doing this. What's on the Facebook page? You got more people?
Oh, we've got a ton of people on there, and I'm looking for my list. It got turned over here. But I've been going back and forth with Chris Martin on that question on Biggs. I cannot find Biggs' name on the Texas Ranger Hall of Fame list, though there is a Tom Biggs. So it's like, okay.
Well,
so we do a little bit more research on things like that. And we've got Vince Sanchez. We've got... Yeah, people are asking some great questions out there, and I'm trying to get it.
J. Hector Gonzalez Jr.
There you go.
Bruce Berman. All kinds of people up there. All right, we'll talk about some more stuff when we get back here. John Hamilton, sit tight. We'll be back with a history moment in just a moment. Andrew, don't go for it, dude.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Prime the pump.
I'm going to have some fun, and I'm going to
go shopping.
Maybe treat myself.
Or just pay some bills.
Catch up on some bills.
Couple bills.
It's the $1,000 stimulus check.
No way.
Sweet.
With up to 12 chances to win $1,000 every weekday.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers. Like Kristen Bell.
I always like to say I like being an actress, but I love being Kristen. So I've prioritized that a little bit more than my like desire to spread my wings or prove to people that I can be some dramatic actress.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, then go to Here's the Thing on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wonderful product. I've lost 111 pounds using that product. 111 pounds. You could not believe the difference. I went from a size 48 pant to a 33 pant and I've maintained that now for over almost a year now. Yeah, absolutely. Andro 400 has helped me lose 111 pounds, and I've maintained my weight for almost a year now.
Thanks, James, for that inspiring testimony and 111 good reasons to choose Andro 400, the most effective and natural way to lose belly fat, increase libido, gain energy, strength and muscle while safely boosting your testosterone levels. So guys, how many reasons do you need for trying Andro 400? Well, here are two more great reasons. Order now and get free shipping plus an additional $6 off when you use the code SAVE6. That's SAVE6. Call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435, or go to andro400.com, andro400.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, we're going to give it a run again on this history moment thing. Andrew went rummaging around in the back room under some piles of rags and stuff. I think he found it. Wherever that was. I don't know.
It was under the desk.
Hey, he found it. Anyway, so we're going to do the El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa for the El Paso History Alliance. Our topic today is about James L. Buster Biggs, whose name is on the military airbase in El Paso.
He was a shooting star. El Pasoan Lieutenant James Buster Biggs enlisted with the U.S. Army Service in May of 1917 and was assigned to the Texas 22nd Air Squadron, better known as the Shooting Stars. But while patrolling the border between France and Germany, Lieutenant Biggs died October 20, 1918, when his plane crashed near Belém. In 1925, to honor Lieutenant Biggs, the War Department renamed Fort Bliss Airfield to Biggs Field. The El Paso Herald newspaper wrote, "It is hoped that wherever the soul of Lieutenant Biggs is now, he is permitted to know of the honor that his memory is treasured for the service he rendered when the nation was in danger."
More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
I like the way you and Bernie play those violins in the background or whatever
that is.
But the history moment being what it is, and you do this every week.
Every week.
You stick them out there in the world.
Well, it's all part of the history of El Paso. It's an amazing background of history. It's everywhere you look, newspapers, search. I can go nuts. I could write forever.
Keep doing it. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
But in the meantime, you got this. You do this for the History Alliance. And I corrected my page. 62,000 followers now?
No, it's actually over there. They're more like 64,500.
64,512.
So between the two pages of the El Paso History Alliance and Remember an El Paso Win, you're talking almost 100,000 followers.
Some crossover may be in there.
Yeah, there's some crossover. But, I mean, still just the numbers are, you know, they're important that people know. And it's amazing the people from all the areas are from. And the El Paso History Alliance page, it has great historic photos, information, and more on their site with admin Max Grossman and moderator Mark Stone. And Remember an El Paso Win, one of the oldest and premier Facebook pages on El Paso history with thousands of archived photos, stories, and much more. Barbara Givenbeny is the chief administrator and has an outstanding crew of helpers, and both Facebook pages actively promote the preservation of the El Paso region history.
And she preserves our history with all those photographs. Thank her very much for that. And also, she's got admins Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louis, Jim Carlton, moderators Ken Weiss, Craig Hayes, and she's the chief bottle washer, Barbara Givenbeny, otherwise known as BGB.
Get tired of washing bottles after
Well, yeah, but she got lots of bottles. But anyway, so back to the history of what we got going on here. John Hamilton talking about all kinds of military history in El Paso. We have a, we have a question from Daryl. John, you ready for Daryl?
Daryl
Hyatt.
There he is. Hey, Daryl, what's on your mind?
I'd like to know what the story was on Major Ketchum.
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 K-E-T-C-H-U-M.
No, Ketchum, K-E-C.
T-H-E-M.
Major Ketchum.
Okay.
Give me some context. I'm not sure. What else? That name is not familiar.
Well, he was around at the time of Pancho Villa, and he actually spent his past years in Beaumont Hospital. He was on ward number one for the remainder of his life, and was there's a famous picture of him, and he lived up there by Loreto Academy.
But his name was Ketchum, and did he chase Pancho Villa?
Yes, he did.
Well, guess what his name is now? He didn't catch him.
Yep. Yep. That's part of it.
Rim shot for me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was also the Spanish-American War. I've got documents on his stay at Beaumont till the end of his life.
Well, it sounds like you got the story. I don't know. John may not have any more than what you've got. I don't know.
Well, I'll put together some stuff for you, John. So, but
I think that would be super. Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, Daryl, thanks for the call. Good to talk to you. Yeah. See you at Pepe's. He often goes to Pepe's. You're going to Pepe's?
Yes.
I may swing by and get a taco and take it home.
I'll get there a little bit late, but I'll be there.
All right. And talking about other people here in this massive stuff we've got going on, John, you want to do Polk anyway, because he's a he may or may not be a direct relative, but and he didn't necessarily serve here, but he retired here, right?
He retired here. When you read his history, even the West Point Register of Graduates said after he was graduated from West Point, he spent time in a couple of cavalry regiments. That would have had to have been either here or perhaps Fort Riley, Kansas, or maybe Fort Clark.
And his full
thing. The 2nd Brigade, the 1st Cavalry Division, didn't move here from Fort Clark until about 1940.
He was General James Hilliard Polk, H-I-L-L-I-A-R-D, Polk.
James Hilliard Polk.
And like I said earlier, he may or may not be a relative. My family came from that same general area of Tennessee. His did. But the President Polk that we're probably connected to back there apparently didn't have any blood children. And so what we are connected to are some of his kin. And who knows what that means anyway. But anyway, this guy, Polk, retired here. And Jody came here, his daughter, and she's Jody Schwartz here in El Paso now.
Polk's real claim to fame in World War II was commanding the 3rd Cavalry Mechanized Group in Europe. I mean, he was in combat with that organization till the end of the war. And the name of the unit, because it had been augmented, there were units that were attached to it and detached. It was part of Patton's 3rd Army. That group mechanized a lot of the real fast advances of the 20th Corps and the 3rd U.S. Army.
Did World War II start out with cavalry actually on horses in Europe, and they changed it over? World War II, did it start out with the U.S. cavalry actually on horses in Europe?
No. The Poles tried using horse cavalry against tanks, and of course it didn't work very well at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We never took horses, I don't think, to Europe. Now, the Germans used horses a lot. A lot of their transportation was horse-drawn. We didn't. We used mules in Italy because that was really rough terrain, and we used mule trains also in Burma, but never used horse-mounted cavalry. The 1st Cavalry Division was here until 1943, and it was horse-mounted all completely. In 1943, the division was dismounted and shipped to the Southwest Pacific to be part of MacArthur's Southwest Pacific Theater. They were still organized as a cavalry division, but they had no horses. All of the horses and mules here were sold off. The question always comes up, did they destroy them? No, they really didn't. They sold them off all over the place.
There was there was a lot of stuff that went on here. I think polo was big back in the day because of the cavalry, and that kind of lost its way.
And you could still see the polo field.
Yeah, the polo field down there, they put water in it when it rains.
Yeah, below the officers' club.
Yeah. All right, Jen, you got to take another break.
Anyway,
go ahead real quick.
Getting back to Polk, he was a staff officer in the Korean War. He was in General Ullman's 10th Corps. He participated in several campaigns there. He ultimately ended up as commander of 5th Corps and then became ultimately a 4-star general. He was the Think Europe, Commander-in-Chief Europe. And he retired and came here after he was very, very involved in civic things here. He was chairman of the board of the U.S. Cavalry Association, and he was president of Army Emergency Relief. I took over as the museum director in 2015 out there, and when I got there, there was no office for me. There was some furniture, and there was a desk that was in storage, and I had the desk brought out temporarily and was using that desk until somebody came in and said, "Oh, you've got General Polk's desk."
Ah. Wow.
Interesting.
And I said, "Oh, okay. So you can't use an artifact." I got it moved out and went out and tracked down a used desk from another building on post that nobody was using, nobody wanted.
That's a small world there, John. All right, we got to move on. We're going to come back after the break and talk some more, but we got to do an announcement that we didn't do because the history moment moved around. We need to tell you who's coming here next week. Next week on February the 6th, and actually a promo ran at 9 a.m. today, a little out of order, but this is next week's promo. The topic is called Crypto Jews, and they're coming up with a better term for it. But there are people coming to Mexico from Spain who converted to Catholicism. In hour one, we hear from El Paso Rabbi Stephen Leon. He helped about 70 families so far return to their Jewish heritage over the years. He's got a book on the subject. In hour two, we talk to Honorary Spanish Counsel Martha Vera, who will explain how many of these people of Hispanic heritage who came to El Paso or Juarez centuries ago, they settled in this part of North America from Spain. They're descendants of hundreds of thousands of Sephardic Jews who were tortured, forcibly converted, burned alive at the stake. They didn't make it to the boat. They didn't make it to the boat. And ultimately, they were expelled from Spain. The Jewish population of El Paso is very small, approximately 5,000 people. But in reality, according to new studies, DNA results, you may as much as 25% of El Paso's Hispanic population may have Jewish roots.
And in Mexico.
Some
of my customers that I work with at the Maquilas, they asked me one time because they knew I liked history, asked me if they thought they were Jewish because they did have, I would say, features, but that doesn't always mean
the habits also, the Friday night lighting candles of grandma dead, nobody knows why.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's the topic next week. February 13th, Sue Taylor's our guest. She's a curator, supervisor at the New Mexico Museum of Space History. Some of her programs she presents at the museum in Alamogordo. We're going to hear two of them. Operation Paperclip, but this time we're going to focus on the families. And, John, I think you helped her out with some pictures on that, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
And
yes, we have collaborated.
Kids of the German scientist and what happened with the families. Also, Sue will tell us about the space race women, the scientists and computer people, and astronauts' wives. And also, we go on to February 20th.
February 20th. Few diseases frighten parents more in the early part of the 20th century than polio did. Polio struck in the warmer summer months, sweeping through towns in epidemics every few years. In El Paso, we had the March of Dimes, the fundraising arm for the National Foundation of Infantile Paralysis, And most school students here remember getting a shot or a sugar cube as their vaccination. We'll talk about the history of polio and hear from some El Pasoans who were affected by this epidemic. Guests are Patricia Kidney, Gabe Duran, his sister Nympha Dixon, and then the 27th, the next week after that, we'll have Carl Lomba. He's back with more history about El Paso and southern New Mexico. And then March 6th, we explore the history of Texas Mountain Trail, which starts in El Paso.
Got a lot going on coming up here. And if you have a topic, you can get us on ephistory690@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. All right, we shall be back in a moment. They could call us after a while, after next break.
Yes, 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Could COVID really cost you your home? Well, cybercrime is up 75%, but the type you really need to worry about is home title theft, which is why you need Home Title Lock. Cyber criminals are after our homes, and it's easier than you'd think. The title documents to our homes are online now. The thief finds your home's title and forges your signature on a quick claim deed stating you sold your home, and he's the new owner. Then he takes out loans on your home and leaves you in debt. You won't know until late payments or eviction notices arrive. Insurance doesn't cover you, and neither do common identity theft programs. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock protects your most valuable asset. The instant Home Title Lock detects someone tampering with your home's title, they help shut it down. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim and receive 30 free days of protection with promo code RADIO. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Your business is getting back to business, but things are a little different than 6 months ago. What does that mean for your customers? And when things are constantly changing, how do you know you're making the right decisions? What you need is Research Raccoon. Research Raccoon is the easy way to learn about your customers, and it's affordable for businesses of all sizes. Here's how it works. Ask a question, and Research Raccoon polls a U.S.-based group of people to find out what they think. No having to define an audience or waiting weeks for results, just data to make smarter decisions. Think of it like a gut check for your plan to re-enter the market. That way, your first move is your best move. So before you reopen your store, reach out to your customers, or introduce yourself to a new audience, talk to Research Raccoon and get data you can use for less than you'd think. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com, a little gut check for your big ideas.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready for This Week Only in El Paso, Inc.?
Whoops.
No, you're not.
I grabbed the wrong page. There it is.
Sorry, are you ready now?
I know.
Okay.
Meet Linda Wolf. She's the mom of superstar Khalid. And find out how she's giving back to the Sun City.
Interesting lady. What also in the ink, what was once a tired office in Sunset Heights could be where you want to hold your micro wedding, and it opens this week.
Cool. Could El Paso raise its sales tax? It's among the issues that top El Paso's list of the Texas legislature.
Could they do it? Oh, well, what do you think? Of course.
Well, if they'll drop our property taxes, I'll go for it.
All right, El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Watch ABC 7 Sunday Night Extra at 10:35 p.m. with host Saul Sines. Downtown property owners fight back. A historic designation at issue an old city ordinance. Preservationists say the ordinance is irrelevant since it's never been used, but property owners say there's always a potential it could be used against them.
Sunday on ABC7XR, Saul Sines brings both sides together to see if they can reach common ground. We can hope. Join ABC7 Extra, host Saul Sines, ABC7 Extra every Sunday night after ABC7 News at 10.
Interesting circus coming there Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. Oh, goodness. All right, we got John Hamilton on the phone. John Hamilton's on the line. John, where do you want to go from here? We got a few guys left on your list.
You want to talk briefly with the little time we have left about Victoria and Geronimo?
I think yes. So. I mean, they were military leaders. They didn't actually live and work here and go to Sunday school, but they
no, they did not.
And I don't think Victoria ever spent much time in El Paso. And Geronimo was here, I think, just going through on a train. But they're regional.
Right.
They're regional dudes, so we might as well bring them up. So tell us about them.
Well, they were the Victoria and Geronimo campaigns were the last real major conflicts with Native Americans in the Southwest. Particularly different campaigns to conduct because you had rough terrain, you had long distances with no water, no fodder for animals, and you just had the sheer tenacity of the of these enemy leaders, even when their cause was pretty much going to be ultimately lost. You can link it to Fort Bliss. Fort Bliss is moving to Fort Bliss. It's this port location at Hart's Mill when the Victoria War came out or started. And the intent was they would contract to build the buildings on Hart's Mill, but the Congress said, we're not going to spend money for that. Let the troops build our own buildings. So once again, you had the soldiers saddled with building their own buildings, but the Victoria War started in 1879, and that's when Colonel Hatch in New Mexico put the entire army force in the territory into the field. And here they had two companies, A and G of the 15th Infantry, and troops A and L of the African-American 9th Cavalry. So into the field they went. Victorio was an Indian leader of the Mimbres or Chihen Apaches. He was forced to move his 300-some-odd people from a reservation at Ojo Caliente, which is up right on the east side of the Black Range in New Mexico. It's a mild climate. It's got good water, abundant game. And the government was essentially forcing the consolidation of all of these tribes out at San Carlos, which was, well, called Hell's 40 Acres.
Yeah, it's not a good place compared to where they... Let me ask you real quick. Which one was the Warm Springs Apaches led by? Was that was Victorio?
That was Victorio.
Yeah, well, I've been to the Warm Springs up in that little valley. It's private property now. You can't get in there. But there's a huge warm spring coming out of the ground. It's bizarre.
Yes,
have you been up there?
Yeah, I have.
Oh,
it's nice.
It's amazing.
Place.
Andrew, there's another line there. But the whole thing about these Indians, they were determined to do their best to stay alive, and they kept. I don't know about these two guys, but the U.S. government kept making treaties with Indians, and it had no intention of keeping them. So the Indians, after a while, figured out these guys are nuts. You know, then what do you do?
So Victorio takes to the fields. The second time he was moved once, and he absconded from San Carlos and went back to Ojo Caliente and stayed there until around December of 1879. And the army came to him and said, you're going to move again. This time you're going to stay put. And at that point, Victorio said, I'm not moving again, and went to war. His mode of warfare was to lure troops into an ambush and then strike hard with superior force. He had a varied collection of arms. He had shotguns, muzzle-loading cap-and-ball rifles, Scharf rifles, captured army weapons, some repeaters. And it's interesting, Carl Lombach has done a lot of work up on the Hembrio battlefield.
Yes. Oh, my, yes.
And there is in the museum up at White Sands, a 44 rimfire cartridge that came from that battlefield that was probably fired from one of Victorio's Indians' guns.
We don't have time to get into it now, but I got the Battle of Hembrio Basin, H-E-M-B-R-I-L-L-O. That's where Victorio's Peak is located. And that's an amazing battle, and it did exactly what you said. he lured the U.S. Army, three regiments or so, three columns of Buffalo soldiers, and he almost got them. But the one...
They were converging on the battlefield. The columns coming from the west were held up. So you had one column that came in from the north, the northeast, and was pretty much cut up.
Yes. And these were Buffalo soldiers, a lot of them. And,
yes, this was the Ninth Cavalry.
All right, well, John, we got to. This is too much fun. All our phone lines are now full. We got to get to those. Also, Jody Schwartz has messaged me that they're in somewhere near Del City listening about John Hamilton talking about her dad. And she's so thrilled that we brought her up. Oh. So that was cool.
Hey,
and
Jody.
Also, a suggestion for Raul Francisco and an email we got in from Bruce Berman. So we are getting the public stirred up today.
Yes, they love military history.
And we got three phone lines full, so maybe we'll take that to the rest of the hour, but we got to take a break in the meantime. Andrew, you want to take a break,
sure.
Don't you? So bad. Okay, don't call us. Give us a message
on
the
Facebook. Hey, did you know Wendy White Polk likes this show?
I've heard of her.
Wow.
She's out there on there looking at us now.
Well,
hey,
she and Carlos Centeno. Sorry.
Whatever.
Yes.
Andrew, take a break. Sure. The phones are full. See you in a minute.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
With Merrill Guided Investing, you have the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member SIPC.
We know the backbone of our country is built by local businesses like yours. We also know that 93% of Americans tune to radio to hear information about brands they trust from people they can trust. That's why iHeartMedia is here for you. Visit iHeartMedia.com and speak to us about growing your business in a time where it is needed the most. It's your audience listening, and it's time you send them a message. Visit iHeartMedia.com today.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-815-4342. That's 800-815-4342. 800-815-4342.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I'm taking a picture of the full phone lines. I don't always see them like this. There we go. I just took a picture of it. Interesting stuff. We got John Hamilton on the phone talking El Paso military history, and you have a Waco Tanks announcement.
Yeah, it's really cool. After many years of work and long application forms and the nomination process, Waco Tanks State Park and Historic Site was recently designated as a National Historic Landmark. The federal designation is recognized by the U.S. Secretary of the Interior and acknowledges that the site holds cultural and historical significance to the entire United States. So that's great. It's one of the greatest and most unique parks in the area. And I'd give them a call because it's kind of iffy if they're open right now. But they do some reservations. So give them a call at, let's see, that's the wrong
No, yeah, just look on the website.
Yeah, look on the website because I've got the Austin number.
Phone number was the news release.
Yeah,
number.
That's right. But yeah, you can go online. They have a Facebook page and a website.
John, you want some thoughts before we take calls? We got a full line of calls here coming. You ready?
Sure.
All right, let's see who we got here. We got Alan. Alan is back. What's on your mind, Alan?
Yes, sir. I was going to ask Colonel Hamilton, when did the Army get rid of the 1913 saber, which was the last saber, the patent saber the Army had, the cavalry? When did the horse cavalry get rid of it?
Pretty soon after the punitive expedition. Patton took his saber with him and took a lot of guff from his fellow lieutenants for having his saber with him because it really had no utility. It would have been around 1917, 1918.
Basically after World War I, then.
Yes.
All right, Alan.
And
go ahead.
The other thing I was going to say, Patton, and of course, MacArthur were together in World War I, but a little unknown story about MacArthur. You know, you hear about Patton being the great pistolero that he was. Well, in the Philippines, MacArthur was attacked. His woodcutting detail was attacked by some of the insurgents, and he got two of them, killed two of them with his 38 Colt revolver. Then in the Battle of Veracruz, MacArthur was on a scouting expedition with three or four other GIs, and he got attacked by they were running a sidecar trying to find railroad equipment and everything, move supplies and stuff inland.
Yes.
And he got attacked by the enemy in MacArthur with his 1911. He got about 5 to 7 of them. So actually, if you think about it, MacArthur's actually shot more bad guys than Patton ever did, officially, that is, on record, I guess.
Oh, officially, yes, absolutely.
Alan, thanks a lot, dude.
And can I say one more thing?
We got
the
three callers.
Rimfire, you can tell between a Henry and a 1866, you have a double firing pin head strike on that.
Yeah.
For the information, if you ever find one.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
I would just recommend, Alan, you never take a saber to a gunfight. I mean, that's just what I've heard. Okay, moving on to other people on the phone. Here we got Marky. What's up, Marky?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Surviving.
I got a question for anybody who knows about Alamogordo News.
Who?
There was a headline that my grandma showed me that was from a newspaper in some time around 1948 about the New Mexico contingency.
Oh.
And Geronimo's grandson went, and Jake Ehrlich, he was some kind of a freak of nature. He was a huge man.
Yeah.
And about seven other people took the train from Alamogordo to New Mexico to either help A.B. Fall or it was somebody else. I've been looking, and I cannot find it, and I need help.
I don't register that one, John. Do you?
Neither. No, I don't. If it was the El Paso papers, the place to start would be in the library when it opens back up. You can go down and pull all the microfilm.
And same at UTEP. You can go in as a civilian at UTEP when that library comes back open and sit there.
Have you ever heard of this? That there was a New Mexico group that Geronimo's grandson went up for a trial for A.B. Fall with a Teapot Dome scandal? Do you ever remember any of that?
God, no.
It's not a subject I've gotten into now. My concentration has been on.
But hey, Marky, you never know. Somebody out there may say, I've got it. They're going to call us.
That's what we're all about.
We've got thousands of people out here. Right. They may ring us up. So, all right, we'll give it a shot, Marky. Thanks.
As tough as Geronimo was, I wonder how tough his grandson was.
Who knows? That doesn't always translate. All right, thanks for the ring up, dude. You take care.
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye. I got one more call here named George. George, got you on the radio, George. What is up?
Quick question for John. In a book that I read that was written by my cousin Sam Sanchez, he says that Chief Victorio was really a Mexican, that the Apaches had taken him when he was a child. I'm going to hang up and let him talk about that, okay?
Okay. Thanks. That's Sam out of San Elizario. I recognize your voice. John, did that make sense to you?
It's something that's been talked about, and it is possible that he was, but we're not sure. Tracking down that lineage is kind of a difficult thing to do.
I'm not sure we know that one. Go back to Sam's source and see what you can find out there, George. Anyway, we're about out of time here for this hour. We got a couple of minutes left. Anything you want to pull up, Melissa?
His book.
Where can we get your book?
We've got a lot of questions. I know I found it at Amazon and a few others.
I know the book's been for sale at Walmart's. Walmart had it.
Walgreens.
If somebody wants it, if they can, if there's some way that we can get them in contact with me, I've got a few copies.
Do you want to give them a phone number or
an
email?
Email you want to throw out there?
I'm sorry?
You want to put out your email?
My email is jayb017@aol.com.
You got to repeat that.
It's jayb017@aol.com.
And I'll put that on our Facebook page.
May be the way to do it. So you want a book from John? And it's a picture book. I love how John wrote the picture book before. Actually, you had to write the captions, though.
He draws really well.
Yeah,
well, he had to write the captions. That's right.
Oh, indeed. Well, we never got to a couple of people on your list here. Maybe we'll try this again one day. But maybe we should just take it also. There's another couple of things that you have sent me as an ideas for future shows. You said the 1948 centennial of Fort Bliss was huge.
Yes.
Okay.
Huge.
I have a stamp from that.
I've seen a book from that.
Yeah.
A little more like a pamphlet book.
Yeah.
A huge thing.
Yes.
El Paso went all out for that. When did they establish the Replica Museum? Was it that event?
It was that event.
Ah, okay.
That's right, 1948.
And people should be aware that the Replica Museum is not the same one we're talking. There are two museums on Fort Bliss. One is the replica, which is the old MacGuffinsville-looking Fort Bliss. And that is the one that was recreated by people, I guess, paid for by El Paso. I'm not sure. Do you know who paid for that?
You're correct.
Okay. And they put it out on Fort Bliss. And then the other one is the old commissary on the other end of the post. And that's now become the, how'd you put it, the Fort Bliss Museum and...
It's the First Armored Division and Fort Bliss Museum.
Okay. That's the other big... That's got more space. And that's kind of like a big space for me. And that's where you were headquartered mostly recently as a museum director.
That was my workplace, yes.
Okay, fair enough. John Hamilton, thanks a lot for being here. We'll do this again. Everybody else, see you next week. John, thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. My pleasure.
And also, thank you to Andrew J. Polk in the control room.
Yay.
Melissa, we get by because of him out there.
Thank you very much for the
pictures on the show here. See you next week. And we're going to talk about the crypto Jews. Unusual topic. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.